Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day. Raise your hand if you're a mother. Raise your hand if you want to be a mother. Got your name. So today is a special day. It's Mother's Day. And I think in the world we live in today, a mother and a family are the most cherished thing that this world has to offer a young life. And so we're going to celebrate Mother's Day today. We're going to share a story. Myself and Jorge are going to share a story about our moms. We don't have the same mom. And then there's brothers, I'm a different mother. And then we're going to interview a couple ladies in the audience today. So they're excited about sharing. I've talked to them before the service, so they're really excited about sharing. So my name is Jason Kennard, if you didn't know. I'm an elder here at Olive Grove Church. Been here about 10 years. And I'm going to just read a little bit about my mom. Just a couple things I wrote down. I have to read it. It's not like I don't know who my mom is, but I actually have three influential people in my life that you could call mothers to me. The first one was my biological mother. She knew me for about 9 months, and she heard my voice one time. But she loved me enough to give me life, and I've never forgotten it. I don't know who she is. I don't know the circumstances of her pregnancy, but I just know that on my life, it meant a lot to me. So, my mom, who raised me, who's my mom today, she chose me. And she taught me, that was one of the first things she taught me when I was a child, that I was chosen. And I really didn't understand what that meant until I became a Christian. And when you become a Christian, you realize and you learn that you're chosen. And it's just something that I always knew growing up, and it was special to me. This is where I can start reading because I'm gonna get off track. And she loved me so much; she made me feel very special. I never felt like I was not wanted or not loved. She brought me home when I was 4 days old and raised me with all the love a mother could have, and I know she still loves me today. She showed me a mother's love is the closest human experience that we have to compare to God's love. It's unselfish, it's long-suffering, it's kind, it's patient, it's all those things a mother's love is. And you know, mothers, it's in them, right? It's not like something you have to be taught. I believe it's a part of your makeup, it's a part of who you are, it's an awesome thing. Favorite story about my mom is I remember that my mom was always there for me. You know, she decided not to work while I grew up. Well, me and my sisters went to school, she stayed home. When we went to school, she only worked part-time, but she was always home for me when I got home from school. And looking back, there may have been some times when I didn't want her to be home, but looking back, I'm glad she was. The next question is, what did my mother teach me about God? Well, was actually my granny, my dad's mother, that first taught me about God. She's the one who first introduced me to church, even though it was an Episcopalian church, and they walked down the aisle with incense. I didn't like that part of it, but everything else was pretty cool about church back then. And you know, she grilled the Lord's Prayer into my head and into my heart. Every night, we said the Lord's Prayer together. I still can remember laying in the bed with her. I mean, there wasn't a night that went by that I didn't get to hear from her or repeat the Lord's Prayer. She was the most God-fearing woman I knew growing up. And I know that she died before, she got taken over by Alzheimer's actually before I became a Christian. And so, but I know she's smiling today because I know that she knows that I have a relationship with Christ today, and she was a major, major influence on my life for that. Well, my mom is still alive today, and I speak with her as often as I can. I don't see her as often as I would like to, or she would probably like to see me. But yesterday, Friday, no, it was, I guess it was Thursday, I wrote her Mother's Day card, And this is just a sentiment. I said, Mom, I love you more than I know. I haven't done a very good job of showing you how much I love you over the years, but I've always loved you and kept you in my prayers. And the one thing I don't think I've said to her often enough that I would love to say to her, because I'm not sure where she is with her stance on Christ, is, Mom, Jesus loves you and desires a personal relationship with you. And so if you haven't been able to reach somebody in your family, like your mother, grandmother, stepmother, mother-in-law, that would be a good message, I think, that you could give them. All right, George.
All right. Good morning. Am I on?
No, you're not.
Oh, you still? I like the English. I did that. Yeah.
Whisper to your brother or your sister, because it was trouble when you got home, right?
You had to be quiet, you had to give praise. And she always knew, right, that there was, like, yeah, we were Catholic, but she always knew that, you know, we're just praising God. We're going to go there, we're going to praise God. And when I was about 14 years old, when we my sister actually invited us to a Christian church over in Santa Ana, where we were living at the time. And, you know, I think out of all of us, my mom was the first one that, you know, that gave it all. She committed. Her heart was God's. You know, she fully gave in and said, God, if this is your will, this is what you want us to do. And I think from that moment on, I mean, we're all believers. We all believe in God. But from there on, I think my mom taught us how to be faithful to God. She taught us, you know, what it was to, yeah, we can say that I can say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but she really taught us how to have that relationship with God. You know, she was always in prayer. She was always asking for people that sometimes didn't do right by her, did things to her, but she would always pray for them. God, take care of them, protect them, right? As much as you protected me. So I would always see that, and I'm a kid, I'm 14, 15 years old, and I'm, why are you praying for that person? That person doesn't like you. Like, you don't pray for her, pray for him. But, I mean, that was the thing that now that I'm a lot older, I see that, and, you know, she really loved God. And God put that love in her where she could love everybody else. Like, my mom had a huge heart. She wanted the best for everybody. So I think that's what, when I look back at it, and that's the one thing that she taught me about God's love. God wants you to love. God wants you to let him love you. And that'll fill our lives. And I think that's what, you know, that's what my mom taught me about God. I also asked about my mom's favorite song, Psalm 93. That was her favorite song. And she would always repeat it, and she would always keep it in her mind. And that this is, if that's what you want me to go through, then that's what I'm going to do. So when, and then the top of the, my mama, we were in service one day, and Tony asked, my mom passed away when she was 52 years old. Tony asked, who's ready to go? Who's ready to go to God? Who's ready to go to heaven now? And we're all sitting here, my mom's the first one that raised her hand. I'm ready, right? And nobody else. So it was a couple, maybe a year or two later that God took her. God decided that she was ready. She loved God more than anything else. But that always stuck with me, and I think it stuck with some of the others, is that, you know, she was ready to go. I mean, we didn't want her to go. Didn't really want her to go. I love my mom. But she was ready. She had done everything she could. She was good with God, and, you know, she was ready. In her heart, she felt she was ready to go. What would I tell my mom if she was alive? Probably that I probably didn't say it enough, how much I loved her. I know that's, it's kind of cheesy and everybody says that, but that's, I mean, that to me is, and I kind of showed her that I loved her, but I really didn't say it much. But, you know, for you that do have your mothers and they are alive, that's probably the one thing that you should do. You should get up in the morning and your mom is there, you tell them how much you love them, because it's hard where they're not here. I know she's in a better place. She is in a better place. But I do regret not telling her that. I wish she was here. Because there's things that I know she would help her with that. And what mom, only a mom knows. And only a mom can give you that advice. But if you do have them, just tell them how much you love them. Because when you don't have them, it's hard. Because you don't have them anymore, you really can't tell them. So take advantage of that. For those of you that only do have your mother still here, take advantage of that, because it's hard. Thank you.
Eva, you want to come on up, please? I'm ready.
I'm ready to give it, right?
Everybody needs me, right?
Alrighty, so we selected two mothers from the service, and we're going to ask them some questions about being a mother, about kids, right, and about life in general. So we'll start with Eva. Introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Eva, and I am here because one day I told the Lord, Lord, I will never tell you no. Whenever you ask for me to do something for you, I will never say no. And God has put me through challenges in life. And I'm still gonna say yes every time he asks me to do something. We don't have no education, but he's in control. He says, just open your mouth and I will feel it. And he will, all the glory is for the Lord. And I think that's all for right
now. All right, Eva, how many kids do you have?
I have three wonderful boys. They're all grown. The youngest one is 21. He's still with us. And they're great boys. I'll talk more about them later.
So which one is your favorite?
They're raising their hand over there. I don't have a favorite. I really hope that they know that I don't have a favorite. They're all different. They're all special. They did try to trick me one time. We were at Sam's and I got a text from one of them that said, where are you guys? And the number was a different number. And I said, who are you? And again, where are you guys? And I said, who are you? And he said, your favorite son. And I said, I'm sorry, but I have three favorite sons. And he said, yeah, right. So it didn't work. I'm glad that, I really hope that I try to make them all feel special, because they are, and they're all different, but it's great to have different kids with different attitudes.
All right. So what is your favorite story or experience being a mom?
Well, when they gave me these questions, every time, I'm asked to share, I always, first of all, if I do it on my own, I choose a story, and then I pray and I ask the Lord, I really want to do what you want me to say, Lord. In my mind, right away, I thought, I'm not going to touch anything that is going to make me cry, because I'm a crybaby, but I am a crybaby. But on Monday, I work in Laguna Niguel, and I take care of a 96-year-old lady. I'm a caregiver. And I drive for 2 hours. I was driving on Monday, and I asked the Lord, what do you want me to share, Lord? And it's great. When you ask him, I had this great story. I had, about 10 years ago, I think we went to Hawaii, all of us, and three boys and Tony and I, for a 25th anniversary. And I thought, oh, that's a great story. I want to share about Hawaii on vacation and stuff. And God says, no. Share about that nice time. He put this, I'm on a radio, okay, too. If Jason read it, I think I can read it. He kept on bringing this to my mind, this time when Tony and I had a serious argument. When that came to my mind, I thought, wait, this is not summer recovery. This is Mother's Day. In summer recovery, we did go through that. Our church went through summer recovery. We did learn that God does not waste our pain. And He wants to use our pain to help others, to encourage others, and to give God the glory more than anything. But so this This story is when our kids heard us arguing, they came to talk to us. And I was so happy when I saw, well, it was David and Anthony, and my oldest one was gone, but later on he was part of it too. And he did the same thing that these two did. But they came out and they thought, oh, here we come to, you know, to help them. And like, what's going on? Why are they so mad at each other right now? And when I saw my boys, I thought, oh, they're coming to protect me. They're coming to be on my side. They're going to tell their dad that how terrible he is. And I thought, here comes my two bodyguards. They're going to protect me. he wasn't that bad. Okay, totally good. But to my surprise, the three of them encouraged us, and they showed us love and respect when we didn't deserve it. They shared with us words of wisdom. We were able to see what was really in their hearts. Sometimes we wonder if what we have taught them has really stayed with them. We were able to see their faith and hope in the Lord. I remember them telling us to get closer to the Lord, that he will help our marriage. And that was before Anthony got married, before when we closed the Hispanic church for a while. One of them said, it's because you guys are not accountable as much as you used to be when you were leading the church. You guys are kind of relaxing too much. You need to get back to the way you used to be. And after that, I remember staying up most of the night. First I was upset, and then God broke our hearts. I don't know how. I was grateful, I was thankful to the Lord. I was able to thank God for that argument, because I was able to see, God allowed us to see their faith and love for the Lord, that it was a lot stronger than what we thought. Tony and I both came from broken families, and life is a lot harder when we didn't have any parents that taught us to love the Lord. We have gone through hard times, but God's grace, by God's grace, we are still standing, and we want to break the curse of sin in our family. It takes a lot of prayer to keep on fighting for those chains of sin to be broken. But God has promised us that if we obey His commandments and serve Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, He will bless our generations. Our goal is to serve God and to give Him everything. And if God has promised in Deuteronomy 28, it tells you that if you give Him everything, if you serve Him with your whole heart, He will bless your generations. If He will bless your children. And when I see the promise, I don't say, oh, great, they're going to have a great job, they're going to be rich. I just think, Lord, their salvation, their life to serve you, you know, their whole heart to give to you, that they can give you their whole heart to you, their whole life to you. The rest, it will come. But the most important thing is for them to love the Lord. We have seen God's blessings in our kids' lives. And He has given them beautiful wives and a girlfriend, one more to go. They love the Lord. They all love the Lord. We have two granddaughters and a grandson on the way. For those of you that have grandkids, when you are around those grandkids, your heart is full of joy. God has blessed us with three great boys that are so funny. They laugh with us. When we get together, we have gone through many tears, but when we get together, they laugh. We all laugh a lot, and they laugh at us too. our English is not perfect, but I think if we will speak perfect English, their life will be boring. It's great. They, a lot of people say, don't you get mad at them when they, like, no, I love it. And I tell them, okay, teach me how to study, you're supposed to say it.
So which is your favorite?
No. The lesson we teach our kids is to make sure God is number one in their life. When God is first in your life, you can walk knowing that whatever comes to your life is because God allows it and He will use it for His glory. When we teach them to depend on God for everything, Your load will be lighter, and you are just putting them back into His hands where they belong. Life is hard, you know. We go through heartache all the time. Whether you're a teenager, you know, the older you get, you think, oh, it's going to get easier. No, it never gets easier. But if we instill that in our children, hey, we're going to die, you know. Our parents are going to be gone like your mom. But hey, you know, I know the Lord's telling her, hey, Jorge's doing good. You did a good job. But once we're gone, a lot of the times we depend on our parents a lot. We have to teach them not to depend on us all the time, to depend on the Lord for everything. Because as parents, we will fail you too. As parents, sometimes we give them too much credit. We're human. We will fail you for sure. But if you teach them to love God with all your heart, God will always carry you in His arms, especially when you go through the pain, especially when you go through the brokenness. Hey, everything is possible through Jesus.
What is a lesson you would like moms to know? Well, new moms, moms that have little kids.
Okay. This is kind of for all of my little kids. Serve God with all your heart. As moms, be strong. Don't give up. Don't get too comfortable. Always intercede for them. Always pray for them. And know that God has entrusted them in your hands. You know, and sometimes, you know, I know God put the father as the head of the household, but the mother is the one who is always praying for them, you know, always loving them and always being an example for them. You are like the best example for them, you know. You are like, a Jesus to them. Not a Jesus, but a Jesus. What is the personality of Jesus, right? You're supposed to have His personality too. If you feel that you have failed, welcome to the club. As mothers, get up and know that it's never too late to show your kids the love that God has placed in your hearts for them. Here's a promise for us mothers. Here's a verse from the Bible. I asked the Lord to give me a verse, and I know my kids will laugh because I'm saying verse. I'm not pronouncing the Bible. I don't pronounce these, okay? But in Deuteronomy 28, this is when Moses, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and they were afraid. They said, why don't you go talk to God, and then you come and tell us what He tells you. But the Israelites were saying, okay, Lord, like, you know, most of us, okay, Lord, we're really going to serve you. We really want to do the best for you. We really are going to try this time. Over and over, we see throughout the Old Testament that the Israelites kept on doing that, and I think we do that a lot too. So in Deuteronomy 5:28, it says, then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me. That He's talking about the Israelites. And the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of these people which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they will fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And when I saw this verse, I thought, God is kind of saying, oh, how I wish that you would really mean the words that you tell me. And when we're here at church, when we're singing, there's a lot of words that we sing, beautiful words, break my heart for what breaks yours, make me lonely so I can be yours, until I want no one more than you, Lord, because in the darkness I know you will hold me, make me lonely. That song has touched my life, and when we sing the songs, and when brokenness comes to our life, and we're really going to say, thank you, Lord, that you are the only one, the only faithful. Thank you that you are breaking my heart so I can focus back on you. And hey, that's a promise. If you really mean those words, if you really let the Lord work in your life, He says, I will bless your children forever. What a great blessing, you know. Let us let the Lord break our hearts for what breaks his heart.
So if you would have to start all over again, or would to start all over again, what would you do different as a mom?
Since I was sharing that Tony and I came from broken families, my heart was really broken from seeing my parents. You know, there was a lot of violence in the family. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom was beat up a lot, and I got beat up from my dad for protecting my mom and saying, can you stop hitting her? I hated my dad, and I had to ask the Lord to break my heart, to give me a heart of flesh and take it away. And because of that background that I came from, when I got married, I thought, I'm leaving my house. I got married when I was 16. And I thought, oh good, I'm getting away from all these problems. And when I met Tony, he's like, oh no. Broken and hurt, and you cannot, when you're hurt and broken and you don't let God to break your heart and heal your heart, you're going to hurt people around you. There's no way that you can love anybody if your heart is hard. Your heart is hard. And if I can do anything different as a mom, as a wife, I will ask the Lord to heal my heart sooner, because I know He can heal. I know that I'm healed now. So I can be stronger in my faith and save my kids from a lot of heartache and spend a lot more time with them instead of letting the television or their friends babysit them for me. Especially David, when he was young, he would always go to his friend's house. Why? Because there was more joy maybe, or they have better food, I don't know.
Or if she's still alive, or something that you haven't asked her?
Yes, my mom is still alive, and she spent 2 days with me. She came, I brought her from when I came from work on Wednesday, and I just took her back yesterday. My mom, I don't think there's anything that I can ask her, but what really is hurting me right now that my mom has chosen not to forgive. Yet right now, I know God's faithful, he's gonna break her heart. But so far, she has chosen to have hate for my dad. My dad's gone. My dad was a bad one. He came to the Lord. He asked for forgiveness. He humbled himself. He kneeled down and went to my mom and asked for forgiveness. And it's a great ending with my dad. He was a bad one. He was the one that we all hated. And now with that, my mom was a good one, a victim. You know, now she has her heart is full of hate. And when she came, I've been praying for her, and I'm not afraid to tell her, you know, Mom, why do you have so much hate? I know you have had a hard life, but God wants you to forgive. She has only 13 kids. She should be happy. She has, I don't know how many grandkids. She doesn't even know how many grandkids and great-grandkids. But when you see my mom, it's sad. My kids were still making fun of her. She's always never smiled. She's serious, always serious, and I see the hate. She tries to be a good mom, you know. But when you don't let God break your heart, no matter how much you try, it's not gonna. It can't happen. You have to let it go. You have to let God heal your heart, and I spend a lot of time this time, and I told my sister, I have faith that God is going to change her heart. He changed my mother-in-law's heart, and he changed my father's heart. They were harder than my mom, I thought. And if he was faithful with them, I know that our prayers are going to, God is listening to our prayers. But she cannot enjoy life. She cannot smile. There's some grandkids that she doesn't like. She hates her grandkids. Some of the grandkids, she loves mine, but who's gonna be mean to my kids? No, it's not because, you know, they're better or anything, but she has really good grandkids and she can stand them, and daughter-in-laws and brother-in-laws. It just, I tell my mom, you have to let go. It's been 30 years, you know, that she's been separated from my dad. I think it's about time to let it go and let God heal your heart so she can enjoy life and the family that God has given us. So I think this is a lesson for me, more than anything, to forgive. And when you forgive, you forgive. You forgive, and people say, I'll never forget. You don't have to forget, but when you remember, make sure that there's grace in your heart. Make sure that there's no hate. If you really forgive, you're going to feel grace when you think about the people that hurt you. And I think that's it.
Thank you, Amy.
What's your favorite story as an experience as a mom? Well, I was trying to think of that, and I thought of one with my son. He was about 3 or 4, I can't remember, and we were in the car, and he was fussing with his sister, and she was older, and she, of course, she was annoying him constantly. And finally he said, "Mom, she will not keep her foot off my side of the back seat." And I said, "Well," and I scolded her. I said, "Keep your feet where it belongs." And I said, "Brian, just ignore her, honey. It, just don't pay any attention and just ignore her." And so I turned around and it was a little quiet, and pretty soon I heard him say, "Gnar, gnar, gnar." Because he didn't know what it meant. And Jim and I laughed the whole time. someday I'm going to remind him of it.
Is there one lesson you try to teach them?
Oh, gosh, yes. To behave. they were pretty good, and they were about 3 years difference, and my daughter, of course, would try to direct her brother, and he didn't like that. And so constantly saying, "Becky, leave him alone, just leave him alone, and he'll do just fine, and you do your thing," but I don't know if she ever got the message.
Is there one lesson that you would want moms that are in the middle of motherhood and young mothers to learn? Is there something you can share with
them? Oh, yeah. Just don't give up. You know, it's a constant thing you need to do with when they're little, and constantly, well, and more so when they get bigger. But they will, you know, try to let you know that your way is not quite the way, and you have to keep reminding them. And through several different ways, and they did pretty good. But when they got in their teens, oh my! I told them they were supposed to be different. and that was all that got there was my telling. But they both were pretty good now, and my daughter lives in North Carolina, and she's married to a 30-year retired Marine now, and my son, they're living with me now since Jim passed away, and they're Christians, and thank goodness. And but I have, let's see, 4, and I have 3 adopted grandchildren, and let's see, 4 or 5 grandchildren. Well, just laugh when you're my age.
So, the last question. Speaking of your mom, is there something you wish you could say to your mom? Any regrets of something you didn't say to your mom?
Oh, well, that I regret. No, well, we talked an awful lot when after, well, later on in life, where my sister was out, my youngest sister was out of the house, and we talked an awful lot. And I was working on switchboard at the time. And so there was down times that I could talk to her. And she was very lonely, and my father and she had some times in their life that worried us kids, and there were four girls, and I think those times had come back to bother her, and so we had a real good relationship later on, and my dad was stuck by his church and his Christian beliefs, and it really took me. Now the other girls, not too many of them, even attend church, but we moved to Nuevo, and my parents were in San Bernardino, and my mom was very ill and was in the hospital in San Bernardino. And anyhow, I was up front leading music like I did for years. And I looked up and saw my dad sitting on the back row. And he had come out to see us, but hadn't told me. And I was so tickled to see him. But he loved the church, and that he says, "I wanted to come and see your church." And so that was a special moment for me when I got to see him, because he didn't leave. He was always there for mom and did help her so much.
Wow, that's great. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.